Is that backside? Is that you gave us that last week? No, this is different. This is different. This is, you know, we're going to see what Mystery Babylon is. We're going to see whose kingdom it is. And I think you guys know me. I think there's tons of typology in your Bible. We've got tons of it, and you're going to see it. Want to see where what they've been taught or what they've learned now is lined up with somebody who is pre-trib. And it's clear. I mean, I think this group here, Mary said she started seeing this on her own by studying Exodus. So we are going to go through this.
Amen. And Exodus is great.
Absolutely.
And it ties in so well.
That's right. It's through your whole Bible that God's children are the persecuted. We're the martyr. We're the ones who win in the end. And like Pastor said this just a minute ago with the prayer. You know what? We will be protected. Our idea of being protected is nothing's going to happen to me. It's not the spiritual aspect of being protected. Being protected is we're not going to burn in hell.
Amen.
Even if they kill us, we're not going to burn in hell. Okay, so to me, typology, you're going to look, we're going to see two kingdoms here. You're going to see two kingdoms, and you see them represented a lot. You're going to see, we're going to look at the heavenly. Let me get through this, and then we'll flip over, and we'll start looking at the coming Antichrist kingdom again. And I think what we really see is, this is not continual kingdoms, or what would you call them, world kingdoms, but this is the coming kingdom. The world kingdom that is coming, that is headed by Satan. And that he's going to distribute his power to who he will. So just, like I said, when you read your Bible, there's typology everywhere. And there's twos. There's two women in the Bible. There's the whore and the bride. There's two Christs in the Bible. There's Antichrist, Jesus Christ. Bridegroom and the adulterer. There's two kingdoms. The heavenly kingdom, hellish kingdom. There's always two in your Bible, so just when you read your Bible, you're going to see that when you're reading, look for typologies. So, like I said, I get this from 1 Corinthians, and you have to turn, as a matter of fact, turn to Proverbs. We're going to look at the heaven. So let me just give you 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for, and samples, and they are written for our admonitions upon whom the ends of the world are come. Hosea 12:10 says, I have also spoken by prophets and have multiplied visions and similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. So God, when we look at things in the Old Testament or anywhere, we can see that these are, did they happen? Absolutely. But they're also types, typology of things that are going to happen again. What did God say? There's nothing new under the sun. That had been is that shall be. So when we look at Babylon, yeah, was Babylon a country? Was that? But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the coming Babylon, the coming king of Babylon. That's what he's talking about.
What is the definition of similitudes?
I actually have it written down somewhere.
So, I mean, obviously, it's similarities, right?
So yeah, the words there. Here, I got some of these things are kind of the same.
I mean, the word is
okay. It's okay.
I probably have a note in my Bible.
It is that the quality or state of being similar to something, a comparison between two things, or person or thing resembling someone or something else.
There you go.
So it's just...
It's a comparison.
It's almost like a mirror image.
Yeah, that's right.
But not an image. Not the same.
That's right. So two women. We're all looking at two women. The heavenly Jerusalem, the bride, us, right? So if you look, Psalm 34, you don't have to turn it. Psalm 34, 2 says, my soul shall make her boast. Your soul is a her. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and shall be glad. So we're the her. We're the bride. I as a man, that's tough. But it's this. The understanding is not male and female. It's masculine and feminine. It's not about procreating. It's about an order of things. Uh-huh. That Christ is the bridegroom and we're the bride. I don't tell him how to run the show. He tells me. Okay, so if you look at Proverbs 31. Mary. Proverbs 31, 10, 12, 16. Punching it. Proverbs 31, 10, 12, 16. Lauren?
Yeah.
17, 18, 20. Yeah, Lauren. 23, 30.
23, 30.
Yeah.
So, 31, 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above the rubies? 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard.
Proverbs 31:17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arm. She perceiveth that in her merchandise is, that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She stretches out her hands before when she reaches forth her hands to the knee.
the mother of us all. He's going to leave there, and he's going to join to his bride. Then the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his own wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So think opposites. There is an adulterer coming to play the harlot with his wife, which is the world system. Make sense? Okay, 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you, over godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. So once again, when Christ comes, you get resurrected, what did he say about that world? It's not for marrying or giving in marriage. It's not for procreation. It's servitude. It's a husband. It's a relationship. A true relationship that we try to mimic. That's what they're doing. Where's the other couple? That's the third one, right? That we're trying to mimic on this earth, the relationship that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had, that God wanted his Son to have with his church, that we are supposed to have with each other, right? This is the typology. Okay, so Revelation 19:5-9. Like I say, you don't have to turn there if you want to. The voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him. Notice the word fear keeps coming up here. Mm-hmm. Fear. A true fear of God, that you turn from him, he'll turn from you.
Right.
That's a fear. And I heard a voice saying, of a great multitude, and a voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. King James is the only one that says that. The other versions say that the raiment is the righteous works of the saints. You have none.
Right. Amen.
You have none. Your righteousness is in him.
Right.
Okay? And so verse 9, and he saith unto me, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. Okay? So this is the bride and her city. These sayings are true. Okay? Let's turn to Revelation 21. So we're gonna see what is a city, what is a bride, and like I said, I think guys, after the last couple weeks, have realized what we're saying here is that city is us. We're that city. So think opposites. Babylon is a city. Mystery Babylon is a city. It's not New York. We'll get into that in a second. Okay, 21:9-11 says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. That would be us, right? And he carried me away in the spirit into a great high mountain. What did we learn last week? Mountains are kingdoms. High, height, are dimensional places. Diane, the north is, in the Bible, the north is up. And he showed me a great city, holy Jerusalem, descending from heaven, from God. So he just called that great city the bride. Right? We're the bride. We're that city. Having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone clear as crystal. So look at 21:1-3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So there it is. We're the city, we're the bride, we're the blessed, we're the children of God. We are, think opposites now. We're not talking about some earthly city. Yeah, can it be? But it's the whole world system that is Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. So if we are heavenly, what is Babylon mystery? Hellish.
Earth.
They're going to hell. That's the city of hell that all the unbelievers are going to dwell in.
Okay.
So really, they're talking two people groups.
Two people groups.
It's
that's it.
Not a geographical area, but it's everybody in those geographical areas.
That's right.
It's the children of Jacob and the children of Esau.
Oh, there
that's
you
right.
go.
We're going to look at it.
That's just the mother of the bride is the people of Jacob.
Yeah.
But not all people of Jacob become the daughter of Jacob.
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Not
so the
all
daughter
of Israel,
out of
Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
The daughter of Jacob is taken out of Jacob. She is the mother, but there's a purified bride taken out. From Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem is birthed. And that new Jerusalem will be the bride of Christ.
That's right.
There are those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there are those who have never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a mother of the bride of Christ, and there's a mother of the bride of Satan.
That's
which
right.
Which is really going on. And I think that
opposites.
Yes.
He gets it. Do you guys get it?
Yeah.
He gets it. I'm so excited.
So I just got to say something. I'm really excited here. A few months back, I was reading that about the New Jerusalem coming down and stuff like that. And I said, Lauren, I said, something's there. I said, there's something there. And I knew that we were the bride. And it was just like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. It's that people group.
That's right.
From the beginning, there's always been two children.
Right.
That's right.
There's always been two mothers.
That's right. Right from Genesis. Genesis 3:15, right? He makes it clear there's two people. There's the seed of the serpent and the seed of Christ. Two people. You need to be born again, his seed, in you. Up until that point, everybody is born of the seed of the serpent. Okay, so, and like I said, you can see here Matthew, ye are the light of the world. Ye are. We, us, the children. We're the light. We're Christ. Christ is the light. We bear his light, right? A city set on a hill cannot be hid. So you're the light. You're the city. You're heavenly Jerusalem. Are we there yet? There is a physical place called heavenly Jerusalem. We're going to see it. It has walls. But we are of that city, but yet I have not attained it.
So he says that he will make you pillars.
That's right.
In the house of God.
That's right. You think you're just going to stand there like this?
Well, I thought a pillar was something you slept on.
Right? Okay, so Revelation 12:1, and we looked at this last week. We're going to just real look at it quickly again so you can get an understanding. We're the city. We're heavenly Jerusalem. We're dimensional. We are not there yet. It's coming.
Right.
Okay, so, and we saw this last week, Revelation 12:1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head were a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child travailed and birthed to be pained. So we don't just talk about Jesus Christ, but there's another travailing coming. She is going to give birth to her children again. There are two women that are going to give birth on the last day. Mystery Babylon and Heavenly Jerusalem. Us and them. Okay, so verse 5. The she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. His child was caught up unto God and into his throne. So are we talking about Mary? Are we talking about Israel here? Where did Christ come from? He came from heaven. So he came from heaven, the mother of us all, heavenly Jerusalem. And this is what they don't understand. They're trying to understand this as Israel or Mary. It's not. It's a dimensional place where Christ came from. Okay, 5-6, 7, 14, 17. And so here you go. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. That's the remnant that's here. That's the remnant of heavenly Jerusalem that's here. We're going to fly into the wilderness, into her place, that she shall be nourished for a time, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. So what is the time and half time? The last 3.5 years, right?
42 months.
So we're not in heaven yet, but we're her remnant. We're her people, and some people are going to be hid. It's clear. I don't know. I don't care.
Right.
I really don't care.
Well, either I'm going to be hid by him on
that's
the street,
right.
I'm going to be hid in him in paradise.
That's right. That's right. Either he is going to protect me, you know, and hide me somewhere in the wilderness for 3.5 years from the fate, which means the serpent must be on the earth
right.
if I'm hiding from his face, right? Or if they decide to take me and take my life and I am a testimony of Jesus Christ during that time,
yeah.
fine. I don't care.
Either way, you're dead.
That's right.
You don't want to live in that world anyway.
Well, do you want to think of that? That's a great statement.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the last 3.5 years when it's being poured out on this world. Really?
Really?
Yeah, right?
Really?
You're not going to be sitting home watching TV, drinking coffee at 8 o'clock with your wife and there's a donut. That's not how it's going to work the last 3.5 years.
No, it's famine, it's pestilence. Go ahead, Jake. Sorry.
I think we ought to look at Luke 21, 35, and 36.
Hang on. Let me get through this. So verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So clearly, he is going to go out and make war with work her remnant. So, once again, with two travailing women, Hebrews 12, 22 to 29 says, we looked at this last week, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God in the heavenly Jerusalem. So where is Mount Zion, which is Mount Zion? Where is it? It's in heaven. He says it. And where is it? In heavenly Jerusalem. It's in heaven. To a great assembly, the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn are the people that have received the Holy Spirit. That's the first fruits. That's the first. Pentecost was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on a multitude of people. And like he was teaching when I first got here, there's going to be a latter rain. It's going to be poured out again in the last days. And on the last days, a resurrection is going to come with it. That's what the Pentecost was. Don't forget, Jesus rose on first fruits on the morrow after the Sabbath. So did he receive the Holy Spirit on Sunday? No, he already had the Holy Spirit. He rose from the dead and got his glorified body. So that picture is for us. First, we receive the Holy Spirit as a holding time until the latter rain when it's poured out again. Then we're resurrected like Christ. That's the promise.
In Ephesians, it tells you that you are sealed.
That's right.
Until the day.
Until the day.
Right.
Right?
By the Holy Spirit, you are sealed. So that's that. The bona fide, the espoused.
That's right. Yeah, you're betrothed. You're betrothed, and that day is coming when it's. This day is unavoidable. Everyone's going to face the day of the Lord. Okay. General Assembly of Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and the God, a judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, that's our goal, Jesus. Not surviving 3.5 years, not, oh, I get a resurrected body. My focus should be Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the sprinkling of blood that speaketh of better things than Abel. Think of that. That he may refuse him not that speaketh, for they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth. Much more shall we not, there's a warning, they refused them, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. There is your great falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. That word constantly says, the abomination of desolation, constantly chase the word deceive. There's a deception that's going to come. And it is during this time, people are going to receive the mark, and it even talks about that he deceived them that took the mark.
Right. Jesus says he sinned, or all works light by the Holy Spirit, and God sends a deception.
That's right.
Deception is from
God. Right. That's right.
Because we did not love the truth.
That's right. Warren says it all the time. God will give you what you want.
Amen.
Go ahead.
He sends a strong
illusion.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who, like I said, who's the one being deluded? Who's the one being deceived? They're already lost.
Right.
He's talking about the ones that don't love the truth.
Right.
Our people.
Yeah. The ones who come to church every Sunday and never read the Bible.
That's right. Well, yeah. Once a week church Bible reading.
Yes.
The ones who think that they can.
Come on, you're right.
Outrun the deception.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
They think that they can overcome the deception.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if God does something, he
doesn't. That's right. You answer to him.
Yeah.
We are not going to answer to John MacArthur, right. Tim LaHaye. We're not going to answer to that. We're going to answer to God. And I have no fear at all that we're in the right direction here. Not because we're right, because we follow this.
Right.
Okay.
There's so many people that are in church that you don't know what's going on.
They're being deceived.
You don't know what's going on in their life because their outward appearance
right.
is the right word.
That's right.
The Lord shows that.
Well, Candace, go to doctors.
What are the abominations that are spoken of? What are the abominations that the woman's heart is full of?
Oh,
I would offer this up, that the abominations are trusting in that,
right.
that things of the world can lead to life.
That's right.
When the truth is that only things of the Spirit can lead to life. Now, if we trust on any mechanism of this world will lead us into life, into eternal life, that is an abomination of God, because he says only that through the Spirit we can be led into
that's
life.
Right.
Those abominations, so what is the abomination of desolation when we get there? Surely it can be a picture of a spirit, but there's greater depths of that. People give it over, they give up trying for the end, and they say, you know what? This is a quick fix, I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's of the world.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that become deceived because they partake of the abominations of this world, which Satan is trying constantly
what
to
are
teach
they?
Us.
They're doing it. What are the abominations?
Go ahead.
Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. Pride of life.
And all those hinge on the very concept of immediate satisfaction and not eternal
right.
reservation. God teaches us from the beginning, eternal reservation. I have this promise for you, trust in it. But it's so easy to take the immediacy of satisfaction. That's the abomination that's being spoken
that's
of.
That's right.
Those abominations lead people astray. Shall I save my money? Our parents thought, shall I save my money and buy my car to save money? Or should I just love a quick loan?
Right.
And become a slave to the system.
That's right.
That's the abomination. There's many different facets of it, but that's just an idea of it.
Let me finish this. Turn to Hebrews 4. What he's saying is very good. Remember what he's saying. There's two women. There's the free woman and the bond woman.
Yes.
We're free. So Hebrews 4... And let me finish these verses, Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. Lord, you picked that up. Okay, so let me finish these verses. Whose voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the word was yet once more, the signifying of removing those things that are shaken and the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom cannot be moved, cannot be shaken. Let us have grace where we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Mystery Babylon is going to be removed.
Yes.
They're removed. We're going to be shaped. The world, heaven, what's going to happen if God shakes heaven? They're coming down. Revelation 12. I saw Michael and his angels fight against the dragon and his angels, and they were cast into the earth, and they could no more go back and forth. He's going to shake not only the earth, but heaven. And when he shakes the earth, there are people that said, I didn't sign up for this. I'm on board. That were sitting next to us in church one day. Right? Go ahead, Warren. This is huge. Two women. The free woman and the bond.
1 through 11 there?
Yeah.
Let us therefore fear lest our promise being left of us in entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. But unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some may enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had not given them rest, then would not he have, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken on another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, that lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
Is how this works? Two people. There's people that are in a fine dress, and there's people that are going to try to save themselves. Their bond. Turn to Galatians 4, and I'm going to have you read again, Warren, because you're on to this. 4, and I'm going to read 19, you read 22 to 31. And you're going to see what he's talking about here. Two women. This is exactly what we're talking
that's
about.
Right.
These are the two mothers.
That's right.
Set forth, and there are some that will. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
no, I bet. That's
right. It's a, see how it clicks? Do you see how it clicks when you just use the Bible and not the words of men? I'm sorry, go ahead, Warren.
For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and Anthras to Jerusalem, which now is, but is in bondage which with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all being the church. Not all people, but the church people.
That's right.
For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which hath had a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now.
It's exactly what's right.
It's exactly. Yeah. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
That's perfect. You want to comment?
That's just perfect.
I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Two women, two cities. The whore of Babylon is the world people, the world system. Babylon is hell. It's not New York City. It's not Jerusalem. It's not someplace over there in Iraq. It is a spiritual city, hell, where all the unbelievers are going to dwell. Revelation 12 says that Satan and that system, right, children of iniquity, went out to persecute the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up her, Mystery Babylon. Where did she go when the earth swallowed her? To hell. You have a picture of this in Exodus, right? Charlton Heston comes down from the mountain. He whips the Ten Commandments and Edward G. Robinson, and the thing opens up, and they go to hell. This is the picture.
Well, right? It's interesting that the children who aren't the bond woman were born naturally.
Right.
In the flesh, but the children that were born to the free woman were born beyond the natural means of life.
That's right.
It was all. It was after that was with Aaron.
That's right.
There was no way that they could have a natural child. God had to superimpose because it was a spiritual child. It was Abraham and Sarah were too old, weren't they? They were too old to have a natural child. It was a spiritual child born to them. Even Jesus was. It was. You couldn't have a child without.
That's right.
Have a procreation.
That's right.
And yet he was born. It's always been the spiritual child.
It's the spiritual.
He made it so it's impossible for man to
come right.
And the spirit comes in. And that's an example to us.
And
that's who wins.
And Ishmael was forced.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. So, I mean, I thought the guy was just about to jump out of his shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, so you can see, they're in bondage. We've been made free. I don't have to sin anymore. All I have to do is go to my father and say, Lord, they're attacked. You're going to get attacked. I mean, has anybody here come? I don't even want to get into it. I played hockey with a guy who said you could achieve perfection in this world. I said, how long have you been saved? He goes, about 25 years. I go, how's that working for you? Right? You are going to get attacked. We're the ones are being attacked. He's not attacking Joel's team. He's not attacking these guys. He is attacking us, the remnant of true believers. They want to break us down.
That's
right. Yeah, she already felt it this week. Mm-hmm.
That's why John tells us we're not supposed to love this
world. That's right.
Because if we love this world, the love of the Father is not in
us. That's right.
If our hearts are not turned from Sinai to Zion.
That's right.
If we're not looking for the heavenly Jerusalem, yep. If we're not desiring His will above the world's way, then the Father has nothing to do with us.
What did Moses get from Sinai? Ten commandments, right?
Yeah.
You can't. That does not save you. It leadeth to bondage. Mm-hmm. That leads to bondage by binding. Nobody keeps the Sabbath. Jesus said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. When you keep Jesus, you are free from the Sabbath. People that are trying to keep the Levitical laws and the Sabbaths, and you got to say Yeshua, these people are wrong. Jesus is Lord of all. And I've heard people say, well, that's the one commandment not for us. Yes, it is. Yeah. He is Lord of the Sabbath. I keep Him.
Mm-hmm. To try to keep those commandments, to try to keep any of that, is to understand that is to walk in the abomination that what you can do, that of the flesh, can support life, and it can't.
That's right.
Life is only supported through the Spirit. That's what God tried to tell us from the beginning. That's what Jesus has been trying to tell us. Life exists through the Spirit to the rest of the body. It cannot come through the flesh to the body.
That's right.
Practice anything in physical form is to think that the flesh can support life. You can't. It doesn't work that way.
Two gods.
It's an abomination of God.
Two gods, right? The one
big G.
The real God. That's right. Big G, little G, the one that giveth life.
Mm-hmm.
And, amen. Right? And the one that is giveth death.
Yes.
Right.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, just interesting, a couple of these things, the desolate had more children than the husband.
Right.
That's clear. Yeah. There is more of them than there is of us.
Right.
And then he goes on to say,
I'm hung up on the free of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is given to us. It's for us.
That's right. No, you're right. I agree with you.
Okay.
It's right. The Bible says nothing about going to church or in synagogue on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given for man to rest.
Yes.
Right? Not right. And what did God say about the Sabbath? The only thing He said about the Sabbath is do no servile work.
And keep it holy.
And so when Jesus is holy, right? When you keep Him, you keep the Sabbath.
No,
you're keeping Him.
Sabbath isn't Sunday.
That's right.
It's the first day of the week.
That's right.
Sabbath is Saturday.
Okay. I've heard some say they can have their Sabbath whichever day they want.
I actually don't think it's a bad idea to take one day and just...
If it can be Saturday, you said it.
That's right.
This past Saturday, I had the later.
That's right.
But, sometimes you get your donkey in a ditch.
That's right. Did Jesus? But hang on, it says no servile servant. It does not mean you don't press elevator buttons or you don't. It means no unnecessary work. There is work that needs to be done. And did Jesus not heal on the Sabbath?
Yeah.
That makes him Lord of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Because the work of healing is a spiritual thing.
That's right.
Servile work is a physical thing.
That's right.
It comes to the attainment of the things of this natural world.
That's right.
Which do not benefit.
But even servile work means unnecessary work.
Yeah.
So, so for me to lead my horse out and clean his stall is not unnecessary. It's a necessary thing, but yet I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have taken this thing about the Sabbath and said, well, you need to go to church on Saturday. It says nothing about church. It said nothing about going to synagogue or going to temple on Saturday. Saturday was for man to rest.
Yeah.
And move beyond the physical understanding of Sabbath to the actual spiritual.
That's right.
If you don't separate those two and understand it's not an application to a day, it's not an application of what I do. It's an application of spiritual understanding.
That's right.
That you take a day holy to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But not in spiritual form, not in physical form. To move beyond what is written, what is given to us as flesh. The Word has been made flesh, but we have to move back and we have to move to the understanding of the Spirit of that.
That's right.
I see it building.
Just let me get through this real quick. I see it. The feasts were given to keep.
Right.
Jesus was, I keep all the feasts. Jesus was crucified on Passover. He was in the grave on unleavened bread. He rested on the Sabbath and did no servile work. He rose on first fruits of the spring harvest. He sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. It's him. He is the Feast of Trumpets. He's coming. The trumpet's going to blow. He is the Feast of Tabernacles. These still are going to be kept. He is that. He is the feast. So when I keep Jesus, I keep the law.
So the whole of the book is written of me.
That's right.
And all the physical part of the Old Testament. I'm sorry.
Bill doesn't have time.
The Sabbath keepers, I know, tend to be well entrenched in legalism.
It's legalism.
You got to use the right name. You got to look
it's
the right
way.
Right.
It's works, Bill.
Yeah.
It's works salvation. Sabbath keepers, this is what Jesus warned of. You're in Galatians 3, Galatians 1. This is what he warned about. Who had bewitched you to keep the law? I've set you free from the law. But yet there are those that have bewitched you to go back and keep the law. What?
Jesus says,
it is finished. That's it. He is those things.
It is finished.
That's right. When you have him, you don't have to. If you want to keep the Feast of Passover, knock yourself out, dude. That doesn't save you. So, Revelation 17, the typology, we saw it, right? We're the woman, we're the city, right? We're heavenly. That's going to be our dwelling place. We have not achieved it yet, even though it is a real place in another dimension. And it's coming here. So think opposites. I almost wish Lance was here because he was onto something the other day when he said about the fourth thing, the tongues. Anybody know what the acronym here is? Look at Revelation 17:5. Okay? So your name is written, God's name is written in your forehead. Okay? This is going to be good. Revelation 17. So here's the opposite. Here's the opposite of heavenly Jerusalem. Here's the opposite of the bride. Here is the opposite of the bridegroom. So you can see that on your sheet there. I'm going to say, like we said, this image here, it's the whole kingdom. The whole satanic antichrist kingdom coming. So what we haven't looked at is who is really the head of it. Is it antichrist or is it Satan? It's Satan. He is the head of gold.
So when Gabriel exposed to Daniel and had Daniel talk to Nebuchadnezzar and tell him that he is the head,
right?
He wasn't talking about Nebuchadnezzar the first.
That's right.
He was talking about the spirit.
That's
right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And that's what we've been proving here, is he's not talking about Neb, because Belshazzar came after him. And he's not talking about Medo-Persia, because he says the next beast was inferior. Medo-Persia was not inferior, but think, who is inferior? The false prophets and false antichrists are inferior to the head. And they are spreading the gospel of antichrist to the people, the thigh and the belly. And then those people are going to be mingled with a coming satanic, demonic people. They're going to mingle themselves with the seed of
man. But they won't find.
But they won't. Yeah.
So there is the dark and the light.
Absolutely.
Those who are of the heavenly Jerusalem.
Yep.
Those who are of the world.
That's right. Which means we're here.
We're here.
Somebody tell me who's not here for it.
Yeah.
I got rented out way over here.
Being earthly cities.
Why don't we understand them? Because we're of the Lord.
I don't know. It makes
sense. Think about this. This world system, the principle of power of the air, they've already come up with AIs that speak their very own language.
Yeah,
we can't understand.
That's right.
Now, I'm not trying to tie the physical in with the spiritual, but we always have a physical picture to the spiritual reality.
That's right. So, what's that? Hey, go ahead, Al.
I just saw a picture of a woman kissing a machine, a robot.
You know,
man will no longer be needed.
You know, China and Japan have developing AI machinery, metal with human DNA.
Yes.
Artificial intelligence.
That's called artificial intelligence. Okay, so
aren't they just trying to replicate?
Exactly, Gary. Exactly.
That would be the abomination of desolation. The sinneth in the temple, not in the hand.
That's right.
That God, Satan will bring forth his abomination, his physical creation, so to speak, and he will marry it, mix iron and clay. And that's what, when you see that sitting in the temple, that's the temple. This isn't about a temple built with rocks. This has nothing to do with
rocks.
So
when we see the iPad sitting in the temple of God, claiming itself to be God,
you see
Google.
No, you are. See, once again, you are clearly, Revelation 11 makes it clear, you are going to see a temple built.
Yeah.
An earthly temple. Clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
What I'm saying, Warren, is that
we didn't see the king or the kingdom when he came. We saw everything as was, but the kingdom was in us. It was not something seen with eyes. If we missed it that time, be careful how we look at it this time.
You did see him in the kingdom.
No, only those that saw him with the eyes of God.
Right. So think opposites.
Yeah.
So let's chase this. Once again, are we talking about earthly cities, Revelation 18? And after these things, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. I'm telling you right now, this is Jesus Christ.
Right.
This is Jesus Christ coming. Why does he call him an angel? Because he's bringing a message.
Right.
And it's right here. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. It has become the habitation of devils. New York? Of devils? In the hold of every foul spirit? Jerusalem? In the cage of every unclean and hateful bird? Iraq? No way. He's talking about hell. That's where they're going to be living. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. New York? Who's her? How are we going to come out of her?
It's that world system.
That's right. Come out. Yeah. Come on up here. Come out of her. Come on up.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Jerusalem? Iraq? San Francisco?
Who's coming up out of her?
We are.
The people who are gods.
That's right. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that ye shall receive not of her plagues. God is about to pour his wrath out on her, and we are being removed.
So that's the truth.
That is the truth.
This is a rapture verse. This is a rapture verse. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, double her. What cup? Cup of wrath.
Right.
San Francisco? Them.
Right.
The children of disobedience. That's right. For she had glorified herself and lived deliciously. Much torment, sorrow, give her. For she had said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and thou see no sorrow. What's going to happen to me? This whole thing about your Jesus, apocalypse, the second coming, it's not real. Look at the way everything just continues the way they are. Come on, live for today. Tomorrow we die. That's her. I sit a queen. No one's going to knock me off my throne. Right? And the kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her and bewail her and lament her when they see the smoke of her burning. Why are they wailing and lamenting? Because they're going to get what she's getting. They're concerned about themselves, not about her. It says afar off that these are prophecies that take place. 19, 1 through 3.
Well, that goes along with Isaiah 52,
and 10,
11, and 12.
That's right. And we will. We'll get into. We're not done. This is going to take weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I got to ask. I don't know how long you want me up here. I don't know when to stop.
Good. Well, I guess when we've learned everything.
All right. So, I mean, we're just going to take our time with this.
You know, there's
right?
Nobody shows up. You'll know we're beyond that. And Andrew's <you're> up.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then God, the Holy Spirit is omniscient. God is omniscient. This is what they need. They need help. Satan needs help. He is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He needs help of unclean spirits, demonic things, and earthly things mingling. Okay, Revelation 19:1. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. This is your reward. I don't want their reward. I want this reward. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again, it said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever and ever. Cleveland? Rochester? This is a dimensional city that is going to burn forever in hell. That mystery Babylon is hell. Right now, we're on the earth. Right? We just read in Galatians that we're in bondage with him. He's coming. Right now, we are citizens of heaven. It's not come yet. Right now, they are citizens of hell. It has not happened yet. But when he comes, he's coming down and he's burning everything. The pit opens up. They go in. Mystery Babylon goes to its place, hell, and heaven and Jerusalem comes down. Heaven is my throne, the earth my footstool. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, which is it? Heaven and earth? Yes. Does it make sense? Okay, so back to 17. 17. The great whore who sitteth upon many waters. And what are waters? People. Okay, it's clear. See, the Bible is going to explain things for you. Our problem is we've been listening to people having itching ears telling us what the Bible says. And whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth made drunk of the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Once again, that beast is the fourth kingdom, and out of that beast comes the beast, the Antichrist. So the whole beast is actually the fourth kingdom that's coming. We'll see it. And the woman was arrayed with purple, scarlet, and colored, decked with gold and precious stones. Earth, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Right. These are earthly desires. Okay? Having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her head was a name written, Mystery of Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. New York? Is only New York killing the saints? And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and I saw her and I wondered with great admiration. He's not admiring her, he's in awe of what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where am I?
Seven.
And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I'll show you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her and the seven heads that had 10 horns. Okay, so like you said, if you look at Daniel 2, I don't think it's bad to go back and see these again now that we've come full circle, that this is not a bunch of earthly demons. Okay, Daniel 2. 31. Thou, O King, sawest a great image, and great image whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image head was fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs and feet part of iron and part of clay. So, 40. Remember this word. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as thou iron break it in pieces and subdue it. Remember that word, subdue it, all things. Okay? What word are we remembering? Okay, so do with all things as iron breaketh in all these. Then shall it break in pieces. Okay? Where am I? 43 to 45. Where thou, so listen to the image that's going to be destroyed. Where thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves. I think we know what that means here now, right? They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be left to other people, shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay, so forasmuch as thou sawest the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, Christ, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. So, you see, it's destroying the whole image. It's hitting it at the feet, but the whole image is being destroyed. And when there, when the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom. Did that happen during Nebuchadnezzar's time? Did that happen during Cyrus and Darius? It hasn't happened yet. This whole image is the coming Antichrist kingdom, because the whole image is going to be destroyed.
Okay.
That's right, Kat. That's right. Now, once again, I'll say it again. Are those kingdoms representative? Absolutely. They're dictator world kingdoms that have dominated the world. But they are not this kingdom that we're talking about. That's right. That's right. Okay, what word are we remembering? Okay, Daniel 7. So Daniel 7. Daniel 7, 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, four winds of the heavens strove against the great sea. Who's the sea? They are. Right? Four beasts come up out of the sea, diverse one from the other. The first was like a lion. Okay. Verse 5. The second beast was like unto a bear. Verse 6. Another like a leopard. Okay. And look at the fourth. And I saw in the night visions, behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron. There's your iron. Teeth devoured and break in pieces, and it stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So a lot of people want to say this is the Antichrist. It's the whole kingdom.
Yeah.
And then he comes out of
it. Well, doesn't it say out of those 10 horns a small horn grows?
That's
that
right.
Is the
it's wrong.
Don't. So, and the pastor just said it in verse 8, and I considered the horns. He's the horn. And I considered the horn, and there came up a little horn before there. Three fell. What three? There's the three. Right? And it plucked up from the roots, and behold, the horn had eyes of a man and speaketh great things. So he's a hybrid. He's got the eyes of a man, and he speaks like a dragon, right?
And oh. that's Antichrist.
The little horn is Antichrist.
So I got a question. So then back in Daniel 2, where it says that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Are we talking demons again?
Okay, we'll get to it.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
What did Jesus say it was going to be like the days of
Noah?
No.
What was going on in the days of Noah?
They were coming down.
They were meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the short answer is yes, we can look at it.
Okay.
But I just wanted to move here to set. So look at, that's the annual 7, 1 through 7, then look at 17 through 19. Okay, 17. God's going to explain these things where if we're just patient and listen to God and not to man. These great beasts, which are four kings that shall rise out of the earth. And here's the victory. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So once again, are these progressive kingdoms? They're here when he arrives. 19. Then I will know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, there's your iron, and nails of brass, there's your brass, and devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. Okay, and the 10 horns which were upon his head and the other came up before 3 fell. So the horn came up and 3 fell. So there you go. There it is. Whose look was more stout than his fellow. Okay. Verse 23. And he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. Not the Antichrist, the fourth kingdom.
And it represents spiritual.
Iron, clay.
Right.
And where is he? Where is Antichrist come out of? The bottomless pit.
Yeah.
He's a hybrid.
Right.
He can't be killed. That's why he takes a deadly wound and the whole world wonders after him. Because you cannot kill him. Okay, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and shall be diverse smaller kingdoms, and shall devour the earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings, which shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse. The little horn, Ash. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So you see, these other 3 kings, they're global dictators. And they're going to give their power unto him. He's going to subdue
global
them.
Dictators, they are the spiritual representations.
Absolutely.
Or the earthly is the representations of the spiritual authority.
That's right.
Alright, so it's the spiritual thing that's going to fall down.
That's right.
Are these 3 that he subdues, the 3 that fell, or are these, this make total?
They actually don't fall. They're actually in cahoots with him because they're the 10 horns.
Right.
That they all bow and give their power to him.
Allegiance is what they're
going
to
do.
They're going to make an allegiance.
That's right.
I give you all of my power. I give you all of my authority to the little one.
That's right. And actually, subdue means to submit.
Right.
That's so that's what they're doing. They're actually submitting. And I'll say this. One of these horns is the false prophet.
Right.
He is the one. When Antichrist comes on the scene, we have no idea who he is.
Right.
I don't know. It might be Judas Iscariot. I think he is. But even if he's not, he's a devil that comes up out of the pit. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is until this point, until the abomination of desolation. But somebody is in charge between then and when he takes the throne. And it's the false prophet who is given power from the dragon.
The interesting thing, before that happens, all of these things are lining up.
That's right. Like,
so the sealed judges, all that is the lining up of the powers that are going to come.
And that's what I say, when the trumpets start here.
Yeah.
They start blowing at the midway point.
Right.
Up until then, you know, the dispensation is trying to say it. The seals start to open and they run their course. The first, they try to figure it out like this. Boy, here's the first 7 seals, here's the trumpets, and here's... That's not how it works. They overlap each other.
Will we physically hear the trumpet?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're going to hear the sound.
That every ear, every eye will see, and we're all going to hear.
That's right. And that's why I say, I think these are the things that we are to comfort. 1 Thessalonians said, to comfort yourself with these things. As Paul was warning the Thessalonians, he was saying, you're not going to get out of this. What was the question with the Thessalonians? What is going on? You said he's coming. We're being persecuted. We're being martyred. People are dying. He said, I told you that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? But when comfort yourself when you hear the seventh trumpet, then you'll know I'm here. Which means if you're going to hear the second, and those are our comfort.
So those, when you start to hear the trumpet, those, the ones that are definitely in Christ, will hear it and...
Everybody hears it.
You know, but hear it and keep...
We'll know what it is.
Keep going.
Yeah.
The others will follow
that. That's right. Yeah. Now, I guarantee it. There's a great deception that's going to take place, and they're going to say, well, these trumpets, these are just the ringings on the atmosphere or whatever, and we're going to go, that's God. Because, I'll tell you what, because each one of these trumpets that are blown, one of the Isaiah, Elijah, and Moses are calling down things after a trumpet is, or no, the first are calling it down, then the trumpet blows and it comes down. So it's going to be associated with Elijah and Moses prophesying.
What's causing the trumpets to blow are the resulting of the prayers of the saints.
Yes.
They're saying, God, we need protect. We need to see you move. God shows his might in the trumpet.
That's right.
He is.
Does this make sense? Or does it make sense? Well, it's New York City. It's Jerusalem. This doesn't make sense. This are worldly kingdoms. This makes more sense what we're learning here, and it's because the Bible says so. Did you want to say something?
I did. How are we to distinguish trumpets? Now we're going to be on guard of not being deceived, also, right? So how do we distinguish this?
What? Yeah, the God says He's not going to allow you to be deceived. So you're not going to be deceived.
The ones who are abiding.
That's right.
The ones who are not born again, the ones who don't have the seal of God on them, they will be deceived.
That's right.
Okay, because they're going to be looking for something different.
That's right.
And that's the ones that are saying, Jesus is here, he's here, he's here.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, the abomination is the great temptation that is going to tempt the whole world. You are going to align yourself with the Antichrist. You will worship him first. You will bow the knee and give allegiance. Not you. They will bow the knee and give allegiance to Antichrist. Then they take the mark. Mm-hmm. They're going to align themselves first with him. Then they're going to take the mark. This is the great hour of temptation. There, Revelation 3 says, God, I'm not going to allow it. You can do nothing. God's saying, I'm going to intervene. I am not going to allow it. If we're in Christ, I promise you, you will not take the mark.
Right.
I promise you. He is not going to allow it.
And the vision I get is aligning ourselves with the three Hebrews when everybody else you're still standing.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit says, Jesus walked with them in the fire.
That's right.
Well, I've got your back.
That's right.
Glad you stood.
And they expected to die.
Yeah.
Well, That's right.
Exactly. We are so concerned about our flesh, about this world, about surviving tomorrow. Do we not know that He is in control of everything? And if I bow my knee to Him, and He loves me so much, He knows very well what I'm going to go through. Is He not going to be there for me? Is He a God that, did He not save you? Did He save you because you're so smart? Because you're such a great person? He saved you because that's His nature.
Good idea.
Well, and He made us. I mean, so like,
Ryan had his hand up also.
I had a question about Jeremiah 50.
Yeah. Next week we're starting with Jeremiah. Go ahead. Ryan hit it. Jeremiah 50 and 51 talk about Babylon. He's not talking about that Babylon. He's talking about the Babylon that's coming. Go ahead.
Well, like verse 3, verse 9, and 13 and 14, it sounds to me like it's an actual place that's going to be destroyed. 53, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In verse 9, for lo, I will raise a cause come up against Babylon, an assembly of great nations in the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken, their arrows because it is a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. That sounds like what would be missiles to me. And 13 and 14, because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her sparing no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord.
I mean, that's usually the interpretation. We want to change what the Bible says into earthly things. It does not say missiles. It does not say nuclear war. I mean, what you're seeing here...
The Bible, when it says comes out of the north, do you think, like on a map there, it's talking about north?
That's right.
Or are you talking in a different kind of geographical sense, and where north is actually in heaven, and south is actually in hell?
That's right.
Up and down, and east and west.
For spiritual dimensions, the northern army is a spiritual army that's coming. This is typology. This is what we're talking about. There are two chapters in Jeremiah about Babylon. 50 and 51. There are two chapters in Revelation about Mystery Babylon, 17 and 18. These two are connected to each other. He is talking about, are we talking about Nebuchadnezzar's? Yes. But he's actually talking about the future Mystery Babylon. Look at verse 13. Because the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited. The wrath of the Lord. God has not poured his wrath out yet on this one. He's going to pour his wrath out on the last day, and it's not going to be in, so it's not going to be here. It's going to be, they're going to be wholly desolate. They are, it is the abomination that causes desolation.
And Babylon still physically.
That's right, they're here.
It's a town.
They're
right
here.
Now.
That's right.
A physical town. It's right over there on the map.
That's right. They're here. There's people living there. It has not been desolate, it is not destroyed. He's talking about Mystery Babylon in Jeremiah 50. I would suggest to read it that way. We're gonna look into it next week. We're gonna get into Jeremiah 50 and 51 and compare it.
Well, and you have to remember, it doesn't do just justice just to hear it, because it's either holy.
That's right.
Or holy.
Yeah.
Right. This is spelled holy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan, we'll look. We'll get into Jeremiah. I'm not going there yet. We'll get into Jeremiah 50 and 51. And I'm gonna say it again. If you want to study it yourself, read Jeremiah 50 and 51. Connect words that he's using in both chapters with Revelation 17 and 18, because there is a whole bunch of typology there and words that are connected to each other. Okay, so there's a lot here. So Revelation 13, 1. As I stood upon the sand of the sea, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And I saw a beast was like unto a leopard, and his feet were a bear, mouth of a lion, and the dragon. There's a fourth one. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. So this is what I'm saying. That's the fourth beast. It is the kingdom that's coming, and out of that beast kingdom is the beast that is going to come, that we call the Antichrist. And who gives him his power? Satan. Okay, so this is what I'm saying. This is the God of this world. And remember what we read a couple weeks ago in Luke, you might have to turn there, 4, 5, and 7. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto them, all this power will I give unto thee and the glory of them. He's offering him the position of the Antichrist. Yeah, I got chills when I figured that out.
That's creepy.
He's offering Jesus Christ the position of the Antichrist. Okay? But look what he says. The devil said unto him, I will give thee the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me.
Mm-hmm. So who has it?
There you go. Who is the one who has power in this world, on this earth, and doles out his power to mankind? Satan. Does God allow it? Yes. The Bible says that Babylon had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. God is allowing all these things to take place. He's using Satan against himself. His kingdom is divided. It won't stand. Right? Make sense? Okay, look at verse 7. If therefore wilt thou worship me, it shall be thine. He's telling Jesus Christ to worship him. I can't fathom this. See, this is the advantage we have. Maybe he does know the Bible better than Lord. He's not saved. He does not have the Holy Spirit. He can't understand these things, and he still thinks he can win, and God is going to use him to hang himself.
But there's arrogance in that sense.
Yeah, he's prideful.
Yeah.
He's very prideful. And we'll look at Isaiah 14. I don't think we'll get to it today.
So he's doing that to Christ. That's what he's going to do to us.
That's right.
Damn,
why is he offering it to him? Unless he thinks, I can win. He still thinks he can win. If he can destroy Israel, if he can destroy you, he still thinks he can win. He is prideful beyond pride that we can understand. Listen to Ephesians. So, that's him, right? But he has a woman called Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, Mystery Babylon, according to the prince of the power of the air, who's that? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. His spirit, he's not omniscient, he's not like God who can send his Holy Spirit into Lauren. He needs devils. He needs unclean spirits to go and do his work. So this is him. And what does he call them? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Satan, Antichrist, unclean spirits. They each have a prophet that's coming. Elijah, I will send Elijah before the great and notable day of the Lord. The false prophet, he's coming too. And he's going to promote the Antichrist. Among whom we also had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, of the mind, and by nature were children of wrath. See, that's what we're not trying to do, wrath. Children of wrath, even as others. So there's your belly and thigh of brass. It's people that are under the authority of Satan. He controls them. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is him hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So, you know, I think we can do this. How long can we go? Yeah? 5 minutes? 1 or 2? Alright, so let's just start. We're going to start, go to Isaiah. Isaiah 13.
I know a lot of folks are getting woozy. Yeah. Yeah, I've been here when it was fresh.
I can tell you that.
It answers a lot of questions, believe me. Okay.
Isaiah 13. Look at 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of God, did see. So, I'm going to suggest to you, he's not talking about Babylon. He's talking about the future Babylon. And the reason I say that, look at verse 8. And they shall be afraid with pains and sorrows, and shall take hold of them, and shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, that she shall be amazed at one another, and their faces shall be as flames. I take this literally. She is a travailing woman. Heavenly Jerusalem is travailing to give birth to her children. Mystery Babylon is travailing to give birth, and it's going to take place on the same day. 19 to 22. And 19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Did that happen? Is not
yet.
He's talking about a future Babylon. And actually, the Chaldees, go study Daniel when he says, be it astrologers or prognosticators. The fourth one mentioned are the Chaldees. They're not astrologers, prognosticators. They are a people. They are the fourth. They are the dimensional. The Chaldeans are the dimensional. And it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch his tent there, neither shall be shepherds.
You just said that. Say that again. The Chaldeans were a people?
Yeah.
Or a fourth dimension.
They're a fourth one. When the Bible talks, when Nebuchadnezzar's looking to get his dream answered, he brings in the astrologers. I can't remember, but the three things mentioned are like wizards. The fourth is a people, Chaldeans.
Isn't that where Abraham came out?
The Chaldean, yeah.
So he came from the fourth dimension. So Abraham, the first, the father, came from the land of the Chaldeans.
That's right.
Okay,
so look at verse 21. The wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be doleful creatures. You know what a doleful creature is? Dismal, gloomy, they're dead. Of owls, there's two types of things that fly. There's earthly angels and demonic. When he says Lord of the flies, he's not talking about something on a carcass. He's talking about Lord of things that fly, the devil, flying serpents.
Beelzebub.
That's right. Lord of the flies is not talking about a housefly. Right. He's talking about he is the Lord of things that fly. The wild beasts in islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and their time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. Okay, just real quickly, I want to move to, we'll save it. We'll go to Isaiah 57, and we'll save Isaiah 14 for next week. So Isaiah 57, 3. But draw near hither, ye sons and sorcerers, sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. I'm going to read that again. Draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. There they are. It's Satan.
Yeah.
And his seed, the whore. Against whom ye sport yourselves, against whom ye take a wide mouth and draw out the tongue. Ye are children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Among smooth stones in the stream is thy portion. They that are thy lot, even to them that hast thou poured the drink offering, thou hast offered meat offering, should I receive comfort of thee? Upon a lofty and high mountain thou hast set thy bed, even thy wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the door and also the post thou hast set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. Thou art drawn up and hast enlarged thy bed, hast made thee a covenant with them that lovest their bed, where thou sawest. And thou wentest up to the king with ointment, and didst increase with perfumes, with thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers afar off, and didst debase thyself even to.
No.
See, here's the picture. Is he talking to Isaiah at that time? Yes. But these are future prophecies, too, that are taking place. Two women, two cities, two people, God's people and the devil's people. Father God, we do come before you. I am so thankful, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father God, that you have sent your word down to mankind and he became flesh and dwelt among us. Let us never forget that all these things revolve around your Son. It is your Son that is high and mighty and lifted up. It is the devil that he is going to step on to crush. Father God, that we may be found worthy to enter into your kingdom and see our Savior and our King. Lord, please, thank you for meeting us here. Please continue to teach us that we may grow in wisdom and knowledge of the Scripture and not in the lies of this world. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace. Thanks for meeting us here this morning and teaching us. And I thank you, Pastor Fitz, as he brings forth the message that you have put on us. Lord, hold it not against my brothers and sisters, but hold it on me. And remember, Lord, that I am just made of dust, and have mercy upon me, and teach me the right and correct way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.